Start it up. I'm ready. You know, I was praying for what to do for today because, you know, on this type of holy day, there are so many ways you can go. Brad Scott was talking about the four different levels of Hebrew interpretation of a scripture. And I was talking to Coleman last night, and I can't remember the four names. But, you know, when you get into the Word of God, I really do believe there's more than four levels. Amen? When you really begin to study the Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that there's a lot of levels. I don't think we could ever count the dimensions. You know, it was quickened to me way back in the day that we will spend an eternity having Jesus explain new things to the Bible from us. For an eternity, we'll be sitting at his feet and he'll say, well, this verse right here, what do you think about that? And, of course, you'll know what you thought about it. Or maybe by this time, somewhere into eternity, way off in there, you'll have maybe 1,000 things to say about it. And then he'll say, well, what about this one right here? Oh, wow, Lord, that's really good. I mean, we got an eternity to have him take the words of the finite words of this Bible and show us an infinite amount of God's mind, power, majesty, greatness, and spirit. Amen. That's going to be some good stuff. Now, Lenny saw an evangelist on TV. He was talking about people going to heaven. He said, everybody's going to be the same in heaven. Nobody gets any more in heaven than anybody else. Well, I don't know. We're going to go over some verses today where Jesus said, I will reward every man for his works. Don't sound like the same to me. Looks like to me we're either going to believe the lying evangelist or we're going to believe the Lord. He got his reward with him. So I was praying about the day because there's so many things about the day of the trumpets. I mean, you've got the great and terrible day of the Lord, which is the time of God's wrath for all the wickedness. You've got the return of Jesus to rule and reign. You've got the return of Jesus to rescue his saints. You've got so many aspects to the day of trumpets. Which way do you go? And I was praying. And the Lord said to me, my reward is with me. You tell those people, my reward is with me. I am coming soon, and I have their reward in my hand when I get there. So that's what we're going to talk about today. His reward is with him, y'all. He is coming soon. You know, people talk about so many things in church, but they miss the return of the Lord so much of the time. But he wants us to focus today that my reward is with me. Your reward is with him. You're about to see your Savior in a year or two next. He was even questioning me on the floor. He said, well, obviously not today. But is it next year or the year after? You see, here's the thing about a Jewish wedding. The father tells the son, go get your bride. He doesn't know the day or the hour he's going to be sent to get his bride. He just knows when the father tells him, the chuppah is ready, go get your bride. Well, Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, but only my Father in heaven. Why? Because Father will tell him, son, go get your bride. So, will it be this year? Will it be next year? You see, we can know the season. Let no man catch you unawares. We just can't know the day or the hour because, you see, the first crescent will have to be sounded. Some angel in heaven will have to blow the shofar, and then the Lord will come down in the clouds and blow the shofar himself while his angels gather the elect out of here. But he said, my reward is with me. So let's go to Revelation 22. Revelation 22 and verse 12. What a great, majestic God. You know, God is always so good to us. There have been so many miraculous stories over the last couple weeks of people and the breakthroughs in their life to be able to come and keep this day of trumpets. So many breakthroughs in their life to be able to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So many breakthroughs in people's life all over the place. Get any good? Give him a shout of praise, y'all. His reward is with him, man. Come on. If we can't get excited for that, I don't know what we're going to get excited for. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. What have you done? He's bringing your reward. What have you done? Do you have a reward saved up? Have you been diligent in little? Have you been faithful in little? Because his reward is with him. And we're going to talk about reward. We're going to talk about your reward. You know, I was praying, the Lord said, some people in here have made goals besides you. I'm ratifying them. So I don't know if you made goals for Teshuva, but if you did, he's ratified them. So that was a heavy word. I mean, you know, that's the beautiful thing about Teshuva in the time of year, getting right with the Lord, because his reward is with him when he comes. And you know, some of the rewards, you don't have to wait till he gets here. You, whoever was that made the goals, your goals are ratified. You will have that reward in the now, not in the future. Hey, that's pretty cool stuff, y'all. Come on now. That's some stuff right there. This day Yom Teruah is the day he will come to appear to reward the saints for things done in this body during this time. Do you have any reward? You know, reward is a cool thing. Are you storing for yourself treasure in heaven? You know, we all stumble, we all sin, we all live in mud, we all do things wrong. But, hey, we do some things right every now and then, amen? Praise God. Praise God. Are you spreading the kingdom of God with what you have in your circle of influence? Because His reward is with Him. And the thing, we're going to go over the things that He rewards to make sure that we know what we're doing and we're doing right. We all get the chance right now to repent, to wash our blood robes in the blood of the Lamb, to change our understanding. We all still have an opportunity to read, to get the information, to get the understanding that we need. Don't be afraid to step up and be the man or woman of God that He has designed you to be. You know, the Lord has spent so much time in your life adjusting, molding, shaping everything in your life so that you can be that person He designed you to be, because He has a very special reward just for you. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about you were predestinated before the foundation of the world. Meaning before God made atoms and molecules, He already laid you out. In the Spirit of God, you were already laid out. Your life was already determined. The major events in your life were already laid out. How can that be? We have free will, right? Well, He didn't make all the decisions for you. He just had it laid out. The forks in the road, which way you take will determine which other forks in the road. Amen? But it's been laid out. The things that need to shape you to make you that perfect person of God have already been laid in your life. Which way we go determines how they will work out. Now, He's already spent so much time shaping you. He's so gentle. He's so delicate. He's ever so attentive to every part of your life because He has a very special reward just for you. Just for you. It's not a reward that somebody else can necessarily have. So we need to get excited. You know, when you watch something on Fox News and you think, oh, that is awful. Man, there's going to be some bad stuff happen. You know, like the war in Israel last summer. Or how about the Syrian troops on alert on the Israeli border? I mean, a war is imminent at this stage of the game. Or you read some really bad report in the Wall Street Journal and you think, oh my goodness, this is awful, man. It's going to be disaster. Or when you get some email report from one of these rabbis in Israel like I did this week and you think, whoo, man, they're already launching rockets, man. This is going to get... Man, get excited. Get excited. Because His reward is with Him. Your reward for all the things you've done in this body is with Him, and His coming is soon. When you see these things, don't get discouraged like everybody else. They're the ones that are going to have to worry about how they're going to make it. The Lord already has you in the palm of His hand. All you have to do is be faithful to Him. And every time He shows you something new, step up and live it. Step up and live it. Step up and live it. Because you know what? He's always showing every one of us new things. Some of y'all just found out about the Sabbath and holy days. That's awesome stuff, you know. But He's still showing me new stuff. 22 years in, He's still showing me new stuff. I got to keep stepping up. And you know, I'm just like y'all, I don't step up the first time, every time. None of us do. We're made of mud. That's why you wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb and repent. We still got opportunities, man. I haven't taken every opportunity. I haven't taken every Jabez appointment. I'll give you a quick example. We went to Jason's Deli last weekend. Was it Saturday after church? Yeah, okay. Saw somebody in there. And I saw him the last time we went to Jason's, but I was lazy the last time I went to Jason's, and I didn't want to take that Jabez appointment. Y'all ain't the only ones. So I saw this dude in the Jason's, and I thought, doesn't matter how bad you don't want to go talk to this boy, you're just going to have to go over and talk to this boy, because this is the Lord done it to you twice. If you walk out this time, you're going to lose your reward on this, so you just need to go over there and do it. Just go over and talk to the young man. It's just the way it goes. Hey, every one of us gets opportunities, and we don't always want to take them. Sometimes we're lazy. Sometimes we're in a bad mood. Sometimes you're just feeling ornery, and you don't want to go do what you're supposed to do. Hey, come on now. We in church today. So take them when you get the opportunities, because that's your reward is based on the things you do in the body. We're still in a body, right? So we got to take advantage of this stuff. So get excited when you see this stuff in the news. Get after it while there's still time. You know, Yeshua wants to reward you richly. Don't disappoint Him. Don't let somebody else have your crown for one thing or another. Look at here. In the salesman world, we talk about don't leave money on the table. What that means is when I'm selling a car, I don't want to sell the car to you any less than you would buy it for. Otherwise, that's my commission I'm losing, right? Don't leave rewards on the table. Imagine the father up there. Son, look at there. I wanted to give old brother so-and-so A, B, C, and D blessing, but they just wouldn't step up and get them. Don't leave rewards in the warehouse in heaven. Make sure that when he comes back, you got everything that was available for you to have. Yes, get greedy for the things of God. Get greedy for the right. Get greedy for the good stuff. Be ambitious for the kingdom of God. Look, you are not going to feel better about yourself walking around the kingdom of God knowing that you could have had that reward, but you don't have it. It's not going to make you feel good. Oh, well, I left some for somebody else. That'll be a nice sentiment here on earth, but when you get there, you ain't going to think that. I left that? Oh, man, what was I thinking? Don't leave stuff on the table with God. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's talk about this reward and building for the kingdom of heaven, because that's what it's really all about. It's all about building for the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. So it doesn't matter whether you planted every seed in their heart. It doesn't matter whether you watered the seeds that were planted. It doesn't matter if you're just cultivating the weeds, as we all know gardening here in West Tennessee. What matters is that you labor toward the same end, the growth of the kingdom of God in a person's heart. Amen? You know, it's an easy thing to get somebody to pray the sinner's prayer. Sort of. Sometimes. But it's a lot harder to get that person to change their life to conform to the kingdom of God. Now, that's where the rubber hits the road, baby. You're putting bricks and mortar and digging out foundations. Now, that's where the work comes in. Getting people to adjust their life to match the kingdom of God. Getting people to get their mind off of just being saved and running around like a heathen, but to go ahead and change their thinking that, A, the kingdom of God is coming to earth, and if I really want to be a part of it, since I know now I got to start getting right. Oh, see, that's the hard part right there. How are we working? For we have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Yeshua Messiah. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day... Speaking of Yom Teruah, speaking of today, the day of trumpets, what this portends, the whole meaning of this day is all about that judgment day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If whatever he has built survives, he will receive his reward. So what are you building in people's lives? What are you building in people's lives? Because see, even if your work is burned up, you still get your salvation, but you will enter in the kingdom as one as escaping through the flames. What reward will you have? Have you taken the time to build things in people's lives? Several of us took up an offering. Several of us offered to give money to Kenya and to India. That's building in people's lives. Several of us have been a part of this ministry for a while. We put out tapes and books and sets. And we got a praise report this morning about a woman in North Carolina who now her Pentecostal pastor is going to have to start keeping the holy days. Oh, wow. That's building the kingdom of God in people's lives. You see, here's the point about blessing. The Lord was dealing with me on this. When you bless somebody, and they take that blessing and actually do something with it. Now, if they don't do a thing with it, that's just like seed on the ground. You know, not all the seeds come up. Amen. I've been planting gardens a long time. Some of them seeds stay dormant forever. And then some just sprout up in years. You're letting it go to waste. What's up with that? It's going to weed. Why you come up this year? Last year I was harvesting, man. What are you coming up this year for? There's nothing there for you this year. But when you plant those seeds and people run with that blessing, then that blessing affects other people. And as people's lives are changed for the positive, it goes down through generations. Abraham was faithful, and we are all called his children if we are faithful. The Apostle Paul has been dead for almost 2,000 years, and yet as we study Rabbi Shaul and his writings and his profound writings here on the law of God, we are still blessed, and he's still earning reward in the kingdom of God every time one of us is touched by this. Amen? So a blessing continues outward as long as people keep taking a hold of it. So you do one active thing. Like, for instance, we talked about the missions. We contributed over to those people in India. As each of those people people in India are talking, and we had those Sabbath books published over there. As those Sabbath books get out and those Bible tracts get out, and more people are touched, and they go out and do the same thing, and more people are touched. That blessing you set up for the kingdom of God in your portfolio just continues to grow. It's easy for us to understand it in financial terms. If you invested $1,000 with Warren Buffett, it's worth $50 million right now. If you invested $1,000 when he got started, it's worth $50 million. Yeah, don't we wish? So, I mean, we think we can understand that return better. But just think about all those people in the kingdom of God. Like, for instance, we have Kelvin McDaniel. We bless Kelvin McDaniel to be able to go out and preach the gospel in all of those awful places none of us want to go. But every time people are saved and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in those places, hey, we helped him to go do it. You follow what I'm saying? Then as those people talk to more people in their community when Kelvin's not even around, his reward is with him. He said, I'm coming very soon. My reward is with me. You make sure the people understand that my reward for them is with me. We need to get excited about this stuff. 2 Corinthians 5. We need to build while we can build. We need to develop while we can develop, because the day is coming so fast. And if we're really busy, it will seem like it's tomorrow. You ever notice how when you're having a good time, time goes fast? You think that's true. You watch it during the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll start the Feast of Tabernacles on Wednesday night, September 26th, and next thing you know it'll be Thursday afternoon on the 4th, and you go, where'd it go? It was supposed to be 9 whole days. It seemed like it was 25 minutes. It's over. What happened? Feast is like that every year. You know, the millennial reign will be like that. He's going to rule for 1,000 years. We think, 1,000 years? My goodness, I can't hardly live to 80. And I'm going to get to live 7 or 8 times. No, man, he said 1,000 years to the Lord is like one day. When you get there, it's going to seem like one day. Wow, it was just noon a minute ago. What's the sun going down for? It's over already? I've been waiting for years to get in the millennial reign of Jesus. It's over already? You're having a good time, it goes quick. You don't even hardly notice it. So if we get busy for the kingdom of God, we'll never know it. Next thing you know, I hear that shofar. I don't see Chelsea blowing. I'm going up in the air. Whoa, this is cool. See, just quick. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose. See, he made you in mud on purpose, so that you would have this conflict. And then it says here that he has given you the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Holy Ghost is the guarantee. The Holy Ghost is the guarantee. When you pray in the Spirit, you can know my reward is with him when he comes. When you worship in the Spirit, you can know my reward is with him when he comes. When you're dancing in the Spirit, you can know my reward is the guarantee. My reward is on the way with my Master when he comes. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say. Are you confident? He said his reward is with him. Make sure the people understand, my reward is with me when I come. You need to be confident that the things that you're doing for the kingdom of God have earned you that reward, and he's got it in his hands when he comes. He's going to give it to you when he sees you. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body than home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things you've done while in the body, whether good or bad. You know, when you're building rewards for the kingdom of God, sometimes it's about stopping misbehavior. Hey, pastor's always talking about all the misbehavior he's been in. Lanisa and Kyra can straighten you out on some more that I've done in the last 24/7. And some misbehaviors we just got to stop. That's sometimes more difficult. Amen. Some of it's about blessing others. Sometimes it's about blessing others. You know, you build by blessing. You know, in finances, it's always easy for us to understand money. I'm a bookkeeper, so I always come back to it. You got debts that got to be paid. You got misbehaviors got to be stopped. Hopefully you're growing some assets. Too many people spend too much time trying to pay off all their bills, and they don't spend enough time banking some money in the bank. used to work at a tax office. What are you going to do with your money? I'm paying off bills, William. Yeah, but you had bills last year. Yeah, but I got them back. Yeah, but you're going to have them back next year, too. Once you leave them there, it'll stop you from spending some money, because once the bills get so high, you'll quit. You won't be able to stay and take it no more. I got to stop. Once you save the money, oh, William, you're being silly. Look, you got to save some money. You got to save some money. And if you spend all your time worried about your problems, you won't put any money on your opportunities. Same thing with the gospel. If you spend all your time worried about your sin, face it, we got to do that. But face this, some of it you ain't getting rid of. Amen? Some of it you ain't getting rid of. Some of it you ain't going to be able to get out. Those two loaves on Pentecost are baked with leaven. Only time it's allowed. God said, don't offer leaven on my altar. It represents sin, and yet the loaves representing you are baked with it in there. Some of it you ain't getting out. But you can't spend all your time worrying about your problems. You got to spend some time worrying about your opportunities. How to capitalize on your opportunities. How to get the kingdom of the God advanced in people's lives. How to help other people to understand how to fully live the way God wants them to live. How to get this Torah into people. You know, the Spirit of God is already going before you to bring Torah to. A lot of folks, I was talking to David Ketchum a couple weeks ago, and he said he talked to one lady. She goes, I don't know why, but I just can't get this thought out of my mind that I'm Jewish. And she couldn't comprehend or get her mind around the consequences of that or what she needed to do. But she couldn't get it out of her head. I'm Jewish. I don't know why I keep thinking I'm Jewish. I'm really not Jewish. But it just is in my mind. And I can't get it out. I'm Jewish. And he got excited. Because here, the Spirit of God had gone before him to lay the foundation for him to say, well, it's because you're supposed to walk by the Torah. It's because now that you're grafted into Yeshua, now you've got to start living the way Yeshua lived. You've got to start dressing the way Yeshua dressed. You've got to start liking the things Yeshua liked. You've got to start celebrating the things Yeshua celebrates. You see, once you get grafted in, you've got to start taking on the characteristics. See, we've got to sow this into people. We've got to water this. We've got to cultivate this into people. And the Spirit of God is already moving among people to show it. Because you know what? He's bringing His reward. So we've got to get excited for this. It ain't about going to heaven, but it is about the kingdom of God coming to earth. Turn to Isaiah 9. You know, a lot of people overlook this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. It doesn't say that just for idle talk. The government is going to be on his shoulders. The kingdom of God is about a literal government that's going to actually rule over this earth. When Yeshua said, they asked Yeshua, are you a king? He said, for this cause I was born. For this cause I was born. Yes, he was born to be king. King of Israel and king of the whole earth. Actually, it will eventually be king of the entire universe. Amen? I mean, that gets pretty strong, but that's the wrong day for this. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the shalom that goes with it, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of Yahweh El Shaddai will accomplish this. He's coming to establish a kingdom. And he's rewarding you for your part in that kingdom. He's coming to reward you for the things that you've done in this body to advance and further the kingdom of God on earth. He's not coming to reward you because you were a good person. He expects that. I'm not going to that verse because I'm trying to keep this all on the positive today. But there is a verse where it says that if you only do your duty, you're an unprofitable servant. No reward in that. He's saying, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? There's a government going to be established here. Why do you think you have to learn the Torah? Because the Torah is the law of the kingdom. How can you be a palace official? How can you be an official in the government of God if you don't know the rules? You can't work for the United States if you don't know the laws of the United States. Amen? I mean, every one of these law officers has to study the Constitution and take an oath to uphold it. Every one of you is going to take an oath to uphold the Torah of God because that's your Constitution. Amen? Governments have laws. And so if you go to Isaiah 2, flip back a couple pages, go to Isaiah 2, verse 1. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. Mountain here is a poetic metaphor for governments. The government of the Lord's temple will be established among the chief of the governments. Meaning that the government and kingdom of God, with Jesus as king, will be over every other government on planet Earth, and they will all report to the government of God. Because it says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ. Amen? Did I say that in Revelation? So you're going to get this, and then it's going to all come into the government of God. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion. That term law doesn't just mean the rules and regulations that they decide. They've already been decided. That term is Torah. The first five books of this Bible right here will go out and be the governing document of every kingdom on earth. And praise God, you are going to be happy, because one of the most important things in here concerning your everyday life is 10% taxation. Hallelujah. I mean, God is so practical. He's Jewish, man. He always thinks about the practical things. No one can take any more out of your pocket than 10%. Praise God. You're going to get to keep 90% of everything you earn, and nobody can come and say, well, we decided to increase the taxes for the roads this year. 10% is all you get, Jack. 90 is in my pocket. It is mine to keep. See, God is for you. That burden. I give another law that everybody loves so much, and you're going to love this one. Every seventh year you have off. No work in the seventh year. Hallelujah. And they call the law a burden. Oh, it's a burden. That old law's a burden. What's a burden about having every seventh year off? I don't know about you, but that's looking pretty sweet to me. I could have used that a number of times. First off, you get every seventh day off, and you get every holy day off without argument, and then you're going to get every seventh year off, and guess what? At the end of seven of those, you get the 50th year off. Oh, the Lord is so good! And you get 3 days for trumpets instead of the furrow, just one day. So, I mean, you know, hey, you know what? If you live in South Florida, you get it today. You know, everything is closed for Sukkot. Feast of Tabernacles, the whole, everything shuts down. Nobody comes to work. It's Sukkot. See, when you got a large Jewish population, you get blessed. They are the blessing, huh? Hey, all government offices are closed today in South Florida, and the mail doesn't run because it's Rosh Hashanah. And everybody's at temple. The schools are closed. You drive a bus, there ain't no school today because they're closed for the Jewish holy day. Amen. That's pretty cool. That's real cool. The law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations. So nation won't come against nation and go to war. They'll go to Yeshua and say, hey, they did this. Hey, well, they did that over there. And he'll decide, and there won't be any war or bloodshed over it. Amen. And it will be a just decision, and everybody will know the Lord is wise. Amen. That is the right answer. We agree, Lord, because his wisdom and his love and his majesty and his power and holiness is going to be so manifest, everybody will just go, wow, we should have thought of that. If you'd have read the Torah a little closer, you'd have probably got it. You hear him now. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of our Lord. And the Torah is called a lamp to our feet and a light for our paths. So when the whole world begins, think about it, man. Look, thou shalt not lie, so nobody tells falsehoods. That changes things, doesn't it? Thou shalt not steal, so you don't have to worry about your stuff anymore. So you don't have to hire security, you don't have to hire protection, you don't have to have locks on the doors. Hey, when I was a kid, we didn't lock the doors unless we went to Memphis, amen? And it'll be that way again. You wouldn't have to worry about locking your doors because no one's going to come and take your stuff. Hey, that solves a world of problems, because now you won't have greedy capitalists exploiting people, and you won't have greedy communists enslaving people. Everybody will just do fair commerce. Hey, that solves so many problems right there that it's going to be hard to figure out what problems will be left after that, huh? I mean, that just takes care of it. His reward is with him. And this is the kingdom we're supposed to spread. You know, this right here is more real than your mortgage payment. I was thinking about that this morning. You know, how real is your mortgage payment? I'll tell you how real it is. Skip three of them and see if the sheriff don't come to the door. It gets real. It gets real, real, real fast. Skip three. I did one time. The sheriff comes to the door. That's how real it gets. I mean, it gets real. This is more real than that. That the Torah is the lamp, and that spreading the good news of this kingdom, that Yeshua is coming back, that he's going to rule the earth with justice and equity and fairness. Man, that's what it's all about. Planting this in the lives of people is building your reward for the kingdom of God. And he's coming back quick. Now turn to Daniel chapter 12. The Lord is so good. Oh, the Lord is so good. He is so good. He has made such provision for us. We sing songs about it. We pray about it. We talk about it. We encourage each other with it. But when you really, really start to add it up, it's just so far beyond. Like I said, there's so many dimensions in the Word of God. It's easy to say there's the four levels of Hebrew interpretation. And I like those, and I wish I had looked those up to be able to give you those names today. But you know, when you really get digging in the Word of God, there's a lot more dimensions than four. There's a lot more dimensions than four. It's deep. You know, the Bible codes, they've got the Bible codes, I forget how many, and I was talking to Lanice when we were watching the show, and everything that they showed us, and they showed us a lot of different codes, but they were all linear. Okay? They were all linear. This book right here, in book form, page on page on page, would make a three-dimensional matrix, would it not? How many more Bible codes are there than that? And we ain't even got into spiritual things. We're still in the first three dimensions. Amen. There's a lot of dimensions in this book. It will take us forever. And we're going to have a lot of time, a lot of fun doing that. Amen. Forever. Figuring all this out. Daniel 12, verse 3. There, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. This is talking about Yeshua's return after he comes back. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. How many folks have you led to righteousness? What is righteousness? Righteousness is defined in the book of Leviticus and Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. God defines righteousness in his law. You know, certain Pentecostals, and I'm not picking on Pentecostals today, but certain Pentecostal denominations define holiness by the fact that guys have a nice white wall around the top of their ear. And that the women don't cut their hair. And it's really, really long. And that they wear certain types of clothing. But you can't find that in the Bible. There's no chapter and verse that tells you that. Those are man-made rules for righteousness. You can't make up your own rules for righteousness. You didn't get a choice to decide what is going to be righteous and what is not. He's already decided what is righteous. All you get is the choice of whether or not you're going to live to that standard or not. See, he already decided right from wrong for you in the beginning. And don't you know, he gave them two trees in the garden. He said, this is the tree of life. Eat it. That represents taking the power of the Holy Spirit that you have life in you. And he said, this tree over here of the knowledge of good and evil, don't touch that tree. Just kind of walk a real wide path around in the garden. You didn't want to be near that tree. Why? Because it's singing to you. That tree is singing a lie to you that if you'll come and eat this tree, you'll be wise like God. But really what it's doing, when you eat that tree, you're deciding for yourself what is right and wrong. Oh, that's what's so dangerous. Look, the man and the wife were naked. And it was okay because it was just the husband and his wife. But the tree told him it was wrong. We've had marital problems ever since. It wasn't wrong. Nobody else had been born yet for God to have to come in down and make raiment for them. They were alone. They were on their honeymoon. They were loving life. But somebody had to go and make the decision to decide right from wrong. And as soon as they ate it, they began to decide for themselves. Well, this is right, this is wrong. And what's the first thing they said? We're naked. Now think about this, guys. Before we took of that fruit, I mean, of any time we should have kicked the devil. I mean, he's only was a little old snake. We should have cut his head off right there on the spot, man. Look what he messed up. We didn't have to work, and the food was already there for the picking. We got the wife of all time, the most beautiful woman ever made. The Jewish legend says the angels were so stunned they were silent for half an hour at her sheer stunning beauty. And she didn't have her clothes on. And we let the devil mess that up. And you know what? We were standing right there like some stupid fool just watching it all happen. And we didn't do a thing. And every man has that in his heart. He's got to overcome that. Every man has got to overcome that. We stood there and let the snake do that to our wife. And that's when we really overcome and stand up and be a true man of God. That's when we decide, I'm killing the snake. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he looks like. If I can get my hands on him, he's dead. Get that hoe. Get my hoe. Get my hoe. Cut the head off that snake. Because the snake is nothing but trouble in your life. And see, once we come to that stage, that's when we can grow up and be the man of God we're supposed to be. But look how bad the snake messed that up. Why? Because we didn't want to do what God said to do. He said, come over here and get all the Holy Spirit you could get. Eat all the fruit off the tree of the Holy Spirit so that you have eternal life. You won't even want that old sorry tree over there. But no, we couldn't listen. That was too easy. We had to do it the hard way. See, we didn't have to eat all the food we wanted to eat and have to work for it. Now we have to work of the sweat of our brow before we can even think about the things of God. See? And then we got to hear from our wives all the time. Is that all the money you brought home? What'd you come home for? Go back to work. I don't want to see you around here. See, we messed everything up. We had it all made, man. We had it all made. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. When you lead somebody back to Torah, that's what this is talking about. When you lead somebody back to the understanding that they need to keep the Shabbat and the Moed, the holy days, the appointed times of God. When you lead them back to living their life according to Torah, it is building the reward that Jesus has with him when he comes, that you will shine like the stars forever and ever. That's turning many to righteousness. When we send money off to help them in India or help them in Africa, the things that we do, that's turning many to righteousness. That's why our books and our tapes are free, because we're trying to grow reward in the kingdom of God for turning many to righteousness. A little harder here in America where we think we're so rich and satisfied and have need of nothing. But it's a lot easier over there where they know they're pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, and they'll take all the help they can get, and they're glad to have it. See, here they can get gospel 24/7. They don't want to hear from you. I already got what I want. See, but that's why the devil does it. He satisfies you with candy when he knows you need to be eating steak and vegetables. Huh? You need steak and vegetables for your health, but instead you're eating candy and it keeps you sick and weakly all the time. And that's the state of Christianity in America. We're always full of cotton candy. Now look, I used to eat my share of cotton candy. Everybody loves it, but we know it's bad for us. And you eat enough sugar, you'll have a headache in 30 minutes. Amen? So the church in America is kept on junk to the place we're ineffective. We're ineffective. But if we were eating the rich diet of unleavened bread out of this Torah and honey, we'd be strong and we'd be taking the gospel around and we'd be doing some stuff. So we need to focus on Yeshua, bring him with him and get excited for the kingdom of God. We need to be on fire to teach people to return to the Torah. Flip back over here to Malachi. Right before Matthew, Malachi in chapter 4, Malachi 4, verse 4. Now, this chapter of Malachi is talking about the future. This chapter of Malachi is talking about the times represented by the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Judgment. And look at verse 4. This is so interesting. Right in the middle of the conversation, he says, remember the Torah of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. Right in the middle of talking about judgment, he stops and says, hey, you remember my laws. Why? Because that's the rules of the kingdom. How great do you want to be in the kingdom? You hear me read Matthew 5:17 all the time. Think not I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy them, but to show you how it's done. The Greek doesn't mean fulfill it so you don't have to. The Greek means to show you how it's done. To be the example for you. Thousands of years I've given this Torah and everybody goes and does everything I said not to do. So I'm walking it out for you step by step, day by day, a 33-year life so you can see how it's supposed to be. So what do? We do exactly what he said not and said, oh, he came to destroy the law and the prophets. You know what? That's why we can't save people to synagogue. We'll never get them saved because their prophets said that their Messiah will magnify the law of God and make it great. And we turn and say, he did away with all that. And they're looking at us and thinking, Antichrist? Antichristos? Now, they're not thinking it in our Greek terms like that. But that's what they're thinking. You're anti-God because you're telling me it's done away. You heathens have been telling us that all this time. We're not going for it again. Lucy, we won't kick the football one more time. That's all you get. We're not doing that. We've already been through enough stuff over giving up the Torah. Thank you. We're keeping it. We got to come to that. We got to start keeping the Torah of our God. When we go to the Jews and people say, Yeshua came and magnified the Torah. See, look what it says here in Matthew 5:17. You can't even commit adultery. No, you can't even bother lusting after anybody else. He magnified the law of God. It made it great. Then we'll have a chance. Oh, really? Well, that's the one thing I haven't heard before. That's when we'll start to make some progress. But you know what? We got a bigger job right now convincing the Christians you're supposed to live by the Torah, because they've been so convinced that the law's been done away with. That old burdensome law you have to have off all Saturday. I don't know about them. They must not work for a living. Had some subs cleaning for me last night. I called them this morning to ask them how it went. Boy, I got to take my hat off to y'all. Y'all really working. Yeah, that's just two. Yeah, we do seven. They just did two, and they had three of them. We do seven, and we only got four of us. It's amazing. It doesn't look like it's much work. Pastor has all the stuff going on, but then when somebody else has to fall in line and handle a job for a day or two, it's like, wow, man, you guys are really working. Yeah. So, Sabbath off? That's not a burden. Man, when I finally get to Friday, man, look, I used to have a little Shabbat wine to celebrate on Friday night. Not anymore. It's coffee. I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. If I have any wine, I'm going to be on the couch snoring. I need coffee so I can stay awake. I got a message to do. I got to get the labels together for the tapes and stuff. So, you know, I'm tired on Friday night. I want my Shabbat off. Thank you. I know we got some college students in there. I know you guys need Shabbat when you get to it. Dog, man, I'm sure y'all are so burnt out when you get to Friday night. I just crash. Forget the coffee. I need sleep, man. When we get the coffee, I got to sleep. Ain't any sleep all week. I've been studying all night. So we need to rest. We need to turn the people to righteousness. We need to remember the law of God. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. And verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Messiah as Adonai. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Always got to have an answer. We always need to be ready, because people are going to ask you. The Spirit of God is already going ahead of you talking about Jewish things. When you're off today, did not you get asked, are you Jewish? Huh? I mean, it's almost immediate, isn't it? Romans 2 says, a Jew is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but a Jew is a Jew who is one inwardly, of the heart, whose heart has been circumcised by the Holy Spirit. See, when you get circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit, you want to serve God. You want to live by His Torah. You want to keep these days because you know it makes Him happy. It pleases Him. And you know that there's a blessing in the day. How many of y'all felt the power of God in the worship? Hey, if you worship tomorrow, it wouldn't be here. If you worship yesterday, it wouldn't be here. That outpouring of the Holy Spirit power is today, because it's trumpets. And we've seen this. We've got friends that, with calendar stuff, and we've gone and done stuff with them, and we've seen a better outpouring on the days we're keeping. We've tested all this stuff out. God's pouring it out today. He'll pour it out again on Saturday. I always go back to the spark plug analogy, because all the guys understand this. Pull the wires off, the spark plug wires off, and arrange them the way you like them. And then drive off. And everybody laughs, because they know when you take those wires off, you're not driving anywhere. Unless you put them right exactly back the way you found them from the manufacturer, you ain't going anywhere. And as a matter of fact, you get them messed up bad enough, the mechanic won't even help you fix it up. I did that once. Hey, it's only four wires. I can figure that out. It's a Volkswagen. It's got a boxer motor, two on one side, two on the other. Ain't that hard to figure out. There's only 16 combinations with that, right? And none of the 16 work. When God puts the firing order of the Holy Spirit out there for you, that's the way He means for it to be, because that's the way it works for you. Work 6 days and get all your work done. Then when you come into worship, you don't have to worry about nothing. You don't have all this stuff on your mind. You got all your stuff done, right? Then you come in the house of God and you worship on Shabbat, and He's poured out all this Holy Spirit fire for you on that day. And then you're ready on Sunday to go back to work and get it. And the same with the holy days on an annual basis. You save up all year long to come to celebrate His holy days. And when you do, He pours out this Holy Spirit blessing on you. And then you have it. And it's what fires you up. Okay, well, it got real dry before this last round of rain in West Tennessee. Amen? Huh? Hey, the first rain wasn't the downpour that I was begging for, was it? It was just a light little sprinkling. I'm like, oh, come on. Lord, we got to have more rain than this. I didn't get the windshield wet good. Come on, man. The bugs just smeared on it. I mean, you know, but he's so much smarter than I am, and he's so much more brilliant, and he's so perfect. He gave enough rain to kind of dampen the top of the ground a little bit. See, all my rain would have ran right off because I'd have poured about 4 inches on us, you know. And it would run off in the ditches. We'd had flooding. But he started out real light, and then he gave a little more the next day, and a little more the next day, and a little more the next day, and every day a little more, and a nice soaking rain, and it all soaked in, and everything turned green and came back to life because he's perfect. Okay? Today is the day of trumpets, and you got that first rain of the Holy Spirit power. And we're going to come Sabbath, and because you're in a holy day season, it's going to be a little more than a normal Sabbath, because he's going to rain a little more, because now you're ready for some rain. And then you're going to come back next week from Sabbath in here on the Day of Atonement, and we're going to worship for 5 hours straight, and you're going to get in the power of God, and he's going to really rain on you hard. And then 5 days later, we're going to be in the ballroom over here for the days of Sukkot, and he's going to start raining. And he told me in prayer on the floor a little bit ago that he's going to start raining more every single day during the feast.
Oh, thank you.
He's perfect. He knows how to do it. When you come out of a dry time, he just can't swamp you with spiritual drowning it. So he starts you, starts preparing your heart, starts working your mind, starts working your spirit a little more, a little more, a little more. He said, all the way through the end of the feast, it is going to be a feast. It's going to be talked about far and wide, not because stuff that bad happened. Stuff good happened this year at the feast, and people are going to talk about it for a long time. Yeah, that's worth some shouting right there. Come on, y'all. You're acting like you're in dry church. Matthew 24. And I'm going to take excerpts of this for the lack of time, but he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about your rewards in the kingdom of God and how to get more of them. Amen? Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master puts in charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at the proper time? This food is the word of God. This food is living by his Torah. This food is more power in the Holy Spirit. This food is nurturing people to take their place in the kingdom of God. You know, God is so specific. As they say, God is in the details. God has a job for you in the kingdom of God that only you can really do. Now, you can mess that up, and he will try to work somebody else to fit the job. But here's the point. He's got a job in the kingdom of God that you are his first best choice, and that nobody else except you is going to do that job as perfectly as he wants it done. And everything in your life has perfectly molded, shaped your thoughts, your hopes, your emotions, your spirit of God within you, so that you are perfect for that job. That's why he says, don't let any man take your crown. You have a crown that's specific to you, custom made by him. So you need to work for the kingdom to make sure that you live up to his expectations for you. And that's not an expectation of, oh, I've got to live up, it's going to be so hard. No, God is perfectly carrying you along the way. You don't have any footprints in the sand, amen? You don't have no footprints in the sand. He has brought you the whole way all by his lonesome self to place you right there, because it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to bring that reward for you. It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Amen. When he comes back and finds you doing what he's crafted, personally handcrafted you to do, he's going to put you in charge of his possessions. He wants to bless you with that. He wants to bring you that reward when he comes back. He's looking forward to finding you doing so he can just bless you with things beyond your wildest imagination. Just for you. Just for you. He's done all these things. Drop down to Matthew 25 and verse 14. Are you advancing the kingdom of God? His reward is with him. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. You called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1. Each according to his ability. You see, he has perfectly sized you up your whole life. He knows exactly what abilities and talents that he has given you. He knows exactly what you're capable of doing. And he is delivering exactly to you what you need to develop those and to earn the reward he has in mind for you. and the crown He wants to put on your head. He's not asking you to be somebody else. He's not asking you to do something that He's given to somebody else. He's not asking you to live up to somebody else's expectations. He has handcrafted everything in your life to make you exactly who He wants you to be. And He has given you in the Spirit of God exactly what you need to fulfill that goal, to earn exactly the crown, to do exactly the job He has in mind. You don't have to live up to somebody else. You don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to feel inferior because they're doing this and you're doing that. All you have to do is do with joy what He set before you to do, because your reward is specific to you. And what He said was, the person He gave 5 talents went out and got 5 more. And the person He gave 2 talents went out and got 2 more. And He said to them, to the one who had 5 talents, and you got 5 more, how good and faithful, enter into the joy of your master. Some places it talks in this parable, give him 5 cities to rule. Give him more. Bless him abundantly. And you know what? The one who got 2 talents didn't get any less, did he? He got the same identical blessing. I equipped you for A, B, and C. I blessed you with what you needed to get it done. And now I'm going to give you the crown and the reward at my return. Enter into my master's joy. Every one of us is going to stand before Jesus at the Bema. What are you going to see when you're standing there? You're going to have to walk up to Him when it's all done and your works have been tested in the fire. What's going to be the expression on His face? What are you going to see in His eyes when you walk up to Him to enter into the kingdom? What will be your reception by Him? Will you hear those words? Thou good and faithful servant, be blessed and enter into my joy. Or is He going to kind of look at you? I gave you all that, and that's what you did with it? What's your reception going to be? Are you going to work hard for the kingdom of God? Are you going to do all that He has given you? I mean, you obviously can't do what He didn't give you, right? He didn't ask you to come on a holy day and make an offering out of what He didn't bless you with to start with. That's why I say just be attentive to what your blessings are. Just be sensitive to what He's given you. If He's given you a lot of money, then give Him some of it back. If He gave you a lot of talents, come and serve Him and give it back. If He gave you a lot of knowledge, share it in the fellowship, share it in the teaching, look for opportunities to serve. He didn't ask you to bring an offering for what He didn't give you. Likewise, He's not looking for you to produce what you didn't have opportunity to produce. But when you get Jabez appointments in your life, do you take them? Do you lead them back where they need to go, back to the Torah? When you get opportunities, people ask you about the hope that's within you. Why are you keeping that old stupid Jewish day? What kind of answer do you come back with? Oh man, are you kidding? That's the day Jesus is going to return and set up His kingdom. I can't wait to go celebrate that day. Well, I never heard it like that. They didn't hear it like that. But how are they going to hear it like that if we don't tell them? See, how are you going to stand? How are you going to shine for turning people to righteousness if you don't take a stand for righteousness? See, it all comes back to us and taking an action. Jesus was never passive about anything. Just because He let him take his life, that's because that was, we look at that as passive. That wasn't passive. That was one of the most active, kill the devil things He's ever done. You can almost hear the panic in the devil's voice. If you're the Son of God, please come off that cross. Oh, what have I done? I can't get him off of there now. Ah! That wasn't passive, that was active. Because He had to actively die for you to redeem the sons of mankind back to Himself. There was nothing passive in getting on that cross. That was the most active kick butt thing He's ever done. We always look at Revelation 19 when He kills all those armies. Oh yeah, that's my Jesus coming back. No, man, He laid all the heavenly host in rebellion to God out in one single act when He died on that cross. You can see the panic. You can feel the panic because from that moment on, they're done. Stick a fork in them, it is over. It is over, man. And they can't recover it. They'll never be able to beat you now because He did that. That wasn't passive. Oh, that was not passive. That's some shouting. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise.
Hallelujah.
Take hold of that reward. Remember, he's coming soon. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one that sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who receives a righteous man, because he's a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, he will by no means lose his reward. You know, we need to pray. We need to pray for the discernment. We need to operate in the gifts of the Spirit so that we can tell a real prophet when they come in, so that we can receive them as a prophet of God and receive the reward. We need to be able to discern from the Bible, because we've read Exodus and Numbers, Leviticus and Deuteronomy. We need to be able to discern a righteous person by their works and their fruits so that we can receive a righteous person's reward. And we need to serve each other, because as we go through this life doing the things for the kingdom of God, every time you bring somebody even a cup of little water, because we're one of the disciples, you will by no means lose your reward. So when you're serving people at church, you're earning reward for that. You talk about a rewards program on your credit card, man, forget that noise. They always give you trinkets and they give you all these little catalogs and buy overinflated trinket junk for oh, please, come on. But when you're doing stuff in church, man, you're earning rewards in the kingdom of heaven that are eternal. Huh? Look, when we walk around in the kingdom of heaven, we're going to have this big Torah observant, spirit-filled badge on that nobody can take off. Even though we rip it off and throw it at Father's feet, it's going to keep showing back up over here. Everybody's going to know they're one of the ones that got red hot for the Lord and stayed with it to the end. Amen? You won't be able to not tell them, because the Lord's going to make sure everybody knows you did what you were supposed to do. His reward is with him. He wants to give you that reward. My reward is with me. I am returning soon. I want it. It is my Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to have this stuff. Luke 6. We need to get ambitious for the things of God. We need to get greedy for the things of God. We need to get serious about going out and generating reward for ourselves in God's kingdom. You know, it was, the Apostle Paul withstood so much persecution because he knew his reward. He was able to sit there and catalog in his mind as he was going through all the stuff. Well, I've done this, I'm going to have that, I've done this, I'm going to have that, I've done this. And he just count that the whole time he was being tortured and probably never even thought about too much about what was going around because he's busy counting his rewards. Amen? Because he had something to count. Huh? How about all them churches he raised up there in Asia Minor? Come on now, man did some work. Luke 6, verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Do not sinners love those who love them? And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. And you saw what crashed in the market when a few of them thought they weren't going to get the money back. Amen? The financial market's locked up 2 weeks ago because a few sinners didn't think they were going to get their money back from other sinners. And the whole financial market locked up for 2 days. Cost the Federal Reserve $200 billion to get that jump started. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. Not small. Great. Hey, get greedy for the good things, man. Get greedy. Sit down and make a premeditated decision that I'm going to do certain things up over the course of this upcoming year to build my reward in the kingdom of God. Obviously, we probably have till next trumpets. Unless he comes this afternoon. Imagine that. We'll blow the last great trump before we get here and we're going to tear a hole in the ceiling. Yeah. Make a decision. I'm going to do make yourself a list. I'm going to do some things this year to earn big rewards. He said, great, right? You know what he said? Great. reward in the kingdom of God. Who wants to walk around the kingdom of God with nothing? Doggone, man, I've walked around this earth for nothing all my life. I'm tired of walking around with nothing. But ain't no point in trying to build it here, because here's where people steal it from you, take it from you, lock you up, put you in jail. But rewards there are permanent. And when I say permanent, permanent's a long time. You know what I'm saying? God says eternal, never die. Permanent is a long time. Long time. Permanent. Stuff here doesn't last long at all, man. They embezzle out of the bank even. And you be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord and not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. So, you know, when we talk about church, and we're always encouraging you to save, it's not because I need the help. I mean, I need the help. All the others that serve need the help. But we're not encouraging you because we need the help. We're encouraging you because we want you to have opportunity to earn reward in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, what would be the point of coming through Hungry Hearts and getting to the kingdom without a lot of reward? I mean, come on now. If you're going to come this far, you might as well go all the way, right? I mean, you come all the way till you get here. You might as well finish it on out in style. You follow what I'm saying? There ain't no point in coming to Hungry Hearts and not getting the kingdom of heaven with a lot of reward. Amen? What would be the point of that? So we try to give people as many opportunities to serve as possible. Why? Because God's going to reward you for your service. Yeah, people don't think much of taking up, putting down sounds, setting out the refreshments, putting them up, duplicating the tapes and getting them out, passing out tapes. How about taking tapes and taking them out and giving them to people? You know, you get reward for all this stuff. It's not, I can't reward you for it. I forget to say thank you half the time because I'm pretty scatterbrained, especially after I've been preaching. But we got the stack of CDs over there for the second teaching on atonement. Pass them out. People don't know about the Day of Atonement, do they? Have they really, do they teach in most churches about Jesus and what he did for you to make the atonement? Very rarely. If you liked it, give it out to some folks. This is how you earn your reward for the kingdom of God. Serve wholeheartedly. Why let someone else take your reward? Plan to serve. Plan to teach others. Plan to spread the true gospel of the coming kingdom. Colossians chapter 3. His reward is with him. He's coming soon. Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not men. So when you come to the things of the kingdom, work at it as working for the Lord. Consider that it's the Lord you're working for and give it all you've got. Don't play games with it. Get real, get serious. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You see, it's not serving at church. It's not giving a message. It's not hauling the sound. You're serving the Lord. And you're earning reward for it. And I'm not saying this because we're going to be over here in a couple weeks or 13 days from today setting up over in the ballroom when we need tons of help. I'm not saying it because of that. We'll have enough help. We'll get it done. We always do. But the question is, we get it done. We always do. Who's getting rewarded for it? Hey. I'm asking the question to say, are you going to get rewarded for it? Now, let's just bring it home. I'm going to embarrass somebody. Feast of Tabernacles, I ordained two deaconesses. What the Lord showed me when I laid on the floor in prayer was a young lady in the back as a little child dragging the tables out and setting them up for church. She wasn't much taller than that. Drug those tables out and set them up by herself for church. The old heavy ones. Down at the temple. So we used to meet boardroom style with big tables instead of with those pews. So I would move the pews out of the way, and my youngest daughter would drag the tables out as a little girl and set the tables up by herself. She got real good at it and cover them with the table covers. And because she earned that reward, God wanted to make sure that she got rewarded during the Feast of Tabernacles with the authority of being a deaconess. So you stop and think about that. Who are you working for? You're working for Jesus. He sees. He remembers. He never forgets. And he's going to make sure that when he comes back, you get rewarded for those acts of service. So things will get done, but who's going to get the benefit? See, I'm trying to make sure everybody gets benefit. It's an equal opportunity place. I want everybody to be benefited. They're like, oh, he's Chinese volunteering us again. Well, yeah, maybe, but I mean, you know, I don't want you to get the kingdom without. I mean, we don't want you being slack when you get there, right? We want all us hungry hearts folks to have big rewards. You follow what I'm saying? Oh, you didn't follow what I'm saying. Think about the future judgment day. Focus your thoughts on the reward that you're going to receive from him because it's real. Keep your mind fixed on that heavenly stuff that you know is coming. He said, my reward is with me. Make sure they realize I'm coming soon and my reward is with me. Keep your eyes fixed on that. Keep your mind focused on that. Matthew 5. We talked about the reception that you're going to get when you see Jesus. What will you get? What will be the greeting? Is he going to be happy to see you? Or maybe I should ask a different question. Are you going to be happy to see him? Ha ha, ha ha ha. What's going to be on your mind? The thoughts of the rewards from the good things you've done or that last thing you did that you knew you shouldn't really have done? Come on, y'all, like I'm the only one that does that kind of stuff. We in church. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. How can you get this if you don't take a stand for righteousness? Who's going to persecute you if you're not out there teaching it? If you're not out there spreading the gospel of the coming kingdom of God, you're not going to have to worry about being persecuted, are you? It's because you're taking a positive action that you get the negative from others and then you build the reward in heaven. Amen? If no one knows who you are, no one knows that you keep the Sabbath, no one knows you're going to feast days, no one knows you follow dietary laws, no one's going to persecute you. But if people know, because when the ham sandwiches, oh, I don't eat those. You got something else? No, that's all right. I'll eat my chips. I'm fine. See, taking a stand for righteousness is what brings the persecution. Taking the stand for righteousness is what earns the reward in heaven. It's no big reward when you're just over there eating lunch by yourself. But when you are persecuted for taking a stand for righteousness, you're earning reward in the kingdom of heaven. Because God is not going to let you take all that gruff for nothing. He's not going to watch you take all that and just, oh, well, that's all right. They get over it. No, no. He's going to make sure you get your reward in the kingdom of heaven because he's just. He's just. There'll never be anything you do for him that you don't get rewarded for it. Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. You know, so much is written on these letters. Scholars argue all the time about how to apply them. The letters. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. He knows our deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut, and I know that you have little strength. Yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. Are we keeping his word? He's got the door open. Are we putting it out there with the strength we have? You see, he's not judging us based on the big churches that have all the money and all the power and the strength. He's judging us based on the strength he gives. Are we being faithful? He knows our deeds. He knows our deeds. Do we know our deeds? Do we know our deeds? Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong one. But you've kept my word and not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you've kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on it. Now that's a pretty good reward, y'all. To skip out on the tribulations, a pretty good reward. I like that reward. I like that reward a lot. That's a sentence I definitely want to see my name in. Amen. That's a sentence I want to see Billy Shields in that sentence. Real bad. Real desperate bad. Amen. I want to do the things he says required. Can we attain this? Can we do the things in this letter to get the reward he's offering there? To him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out of it. And I will write on him my new name and the new name of the new Jerusalem and the new name of my God and his new name, and you'll have it forever and ever. That's some serious reward. Can we attain the brotherly love that has to be demonstrated by the name Philadelphia? Can we keep his word patiently? Can we put his word out in the public patiently? Can we preach the kingdom of God to a dying world with all the little bit of nothing strength that we have? Because there's a good reward there. There's a good reward there, and he's got it with him, and he's on the way. Malachi 3, verse 16. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. And a scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. They will be mine, says Yahweh El Shaddai, in the day when I make up my treasured possessions. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And again, you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Even in our fellowship, if we will honor Him in our fellowship, we talk about work too. Who wants to talk about work? Man, work, it's not good to talk about work. If we'll honor Him in the fellowship, if we'll talk about the great and mighty deeds He's done in our lives, you know, every week we get some great praise report. Some of the praise reports we heard this week were awesome. If we'll fellowship about those, if we'll fellowship about the praise report in the Collins life, and the praise report we got from North Carolina, and the praise report that Kelly could have brought, if we'll focus on the fellowship, the praise, and the worship of our God, He's going to spare us. That's some pretty great reward. And in one of the verses it says, they will be my precious jewels on the day when I act. That's a great reward. That's a great reward. We need to attain to that. We need to attain to that by living up to it every day, by focusing our minds on the things He says He's going to reward and make sure we're doing that. We need to make sure that the things He rewards are the things that we're doing. There's a book out, A Life That Heaven Rewards. How about a book out, A Life That Will Be Rewarded in the Kingdom of God? How about a life lived to earn the rewards of God? You see, He's going to reward every man for your deeds, every person for their deeds, what's done in this body, whether good or bad. We're not talking about your salvation. As we read in 1 Corinthians, even people who don't have reward will escape through the flames and attain their salvation. But what kind of look is going to be on His face? What kind of look is going to be on His face when their works did not make it in the kingdom of God with them? I don't want to see disappointment on the Lord's face when I make it there. I don't want to get up to the beam of judgment and walk past Him when I finally get... You know, we sing the song, I Can Only Imagine. I want you to really imagine. I want you to spend some time thinking about what the expression is going to be on His face, the look that's going to be in His eyes. Will you get that warm embrace? Because He knows you did everything you could do with the things He gave you. Will you get that warm embrace? What kind of countenance will He have? Is it going to be the, hey! Put your name in there. I can't wait that you got up here. I've been waiting to do this to you all those years because you persevered through the awfulest stuff. I saw it all. Oh, you did so good. I'm so proud of you. And those are the rewards. That's what we're living for. It ain't about the little stuff we go through. It's that hug. It's that embrace. It's that look in His eyes. I have waited so long to give you this because you've done so good. I'm so glad you're here. Oh, man. Enter into my joy because I have a lot of it for you. Just for you.